Hi, everybody, and welcome back to another episode of Rabbi Reacts. We are still talking about the topic of free will and still following Mara's request that we look at the great free will debate on Big Think. Last episode, we looked at the question of, is consciousness an illusion? Do we, by the word conscious or soul, mean to be adding something to a brain like a wispy ghostly substance? And what is a Jewish view on that traditionally? And we argued that no, we don't need any extra substances in order to even use the word soul to describe parts of the mind and so on. This time we're going to be looking at an argument from a brilliant physicist called Michio Kaku, who is going to be arguing for the possibility of free will. Now, I'm unfortunately going to say that at least the way he presents it here, it is not quite good enough to get us to free will. And I think it's really important and really fair that we don't just critique arguments of positions we don't agree with, but even when somebody makes an argument that we do agree with, we have to be rigorous and deconstruct them because we want to have good arguments. We want to all learn more whether we agree or disagree with each other. Now, before we get into this video, please remember to like, please remember to subscribe and to click on the bell so that you can always get updates from videos from myself and others on the ACE channel. Okay, so let's get in. We're in the middle of the debate about free will, and Michio Kaku is going to come in and talk about the space within the laws of physics. And I was accepting that a brain might be is completely subject to the laws of physics, and even so, even if the mind is totally tied to everything in the brain, or it's an illusion to think of anything other than brain processes going on, that doesn't mean we don't have free will. So let's listen to his argument, and then I'm going to show you where I think it, but as it's presented there, or as it's cut there, maybe he had more to say for it, it doesn't quite do the job.
First of all, there's something called Newtonian determinism. Newtonian determinism says that the universe is a clock, a gigantic clock that's wound up at the beginning of time, and it's been ticking ever since according to Newton's laws of motion. So what you're going to eat 10 years from now on January 1st has already been fixed. It's already known using Newton's laws of motion. Einstein believed in that. Einstein was a determinist. And some people asked Einstein, well, does that mean that a murderer, a horrible mass murderer, isn't really guilty of his works because it was already preordained billions of years ago? And Einstein said, well, yeah, in some sense, that's true, that even mass murderers were predetermined. But he said they should still be placed in jail.
I'll just pause there for a moment. Let's get clear what's going on. Einstein, according to Michio Kaku, is saying he believes in determinism, i.e. he believes that if you would know where every particle in the universe is, you would know what's going on everywhere. You could have some supercomputer, in theory, compute every cause and every causal state now to every effect that will ever follow afterwards. And since every electron and every proton, neutron is governed by these laws, and since brains are part of those laws, you can actually predict all the thoughts that will run through, all the decisions, and the outcomes, including mass murder. So why does he think that in that case we should throw them in prison? Because what throwing people in prison does is it produces another free will factor that the brain thinks about, and it serves as a deterrence against other crime. At least I presume that's what he would have held. So in other words, if we as a society of non-free will beings don't want the murderers within us to start killing everybody, what we should do is lock them away. A, the minute they murder, that will stop them murdering other people. And B, is it will hopefully mean that when a non-free will being is thinking, should I murder, one of the many consequences that it will non-free will think about is getting thrown in jail. And that might deter the non-free will being from doing what they do. So we have two good reasons to put them in jail. Keep them out of harm's way and deter them in the first place from doing it. So interesting. Anyway, but that's not the core point of where he wants. He wants to get to, we actually do have free will. And what's the argument? Well, now let's follow it.
Heisenberg then comes along and proposes the Heisenberg uncertainty principle and says, nonsense. There's uncertainty. You don't know where the electron is. It could be here, here, or many places simultaneously. And this, of course, Einstein hated because he said God doesn't play dice with the universe. Well, hey, get used to it. Einstein was wrong. God does play dice. Every time we look at an electron, it moves. There's uncertainty with regards to the position of the electron. So what does that mean for free will? It means in some sense, we do have some kind of free will in the sense that no one can determine your future events given your past history. There's always the wild card.
Now, let's look at what he's argued. He's argued that in quantum mechanics, that is at the subatomic level, there is indeterminacy. Right, that's almost unanimously accepted, certainly the mainstream approach and interpretation of the data in physics. So given that, Not everything in the universe actually is determined. Therefore, in some sense, we have free will. Now, that therefore is a very big leap. Because if I was a skeptic about free will, I could say a few things. First of all, the fact that at a subatomic level, there might be indeterminacy. The fact is, once you get above a certain level of organization, that randomness or indeterminacy doesn't manifest, right? If I let go of this cup over here, right? It's going to fall downwards. And whatever indeterminacy might exist anywhere else, if anything in our day-to-day life, if I draw with an ink pen, there's enough ink, it will come out. In fact, even at the level of a cell, it's going to be obeying laws completely. So in order to argue this as any difference for our free will, we need to argue that key brain processes occur at subatomic levels subject to the laws of quantum mechanics. Now, there are people who do make this argument, and it's very likely Michio Kaku is referring to them. The most famous today is in recent times is Roger Penrose, a brilliant mathematician in Oxford University, who wrote The Emperor's New Mind and has since talked about the topic and people have debated it, where he wants to argue that certain parts of the key neuron transmitters, certain parts of the key information transmission that takes place in the brain takes place in what might actually be equivalent to tiny quantum states that do have indeterminacy built into them. But even if that's true, and I think there's quite a debate about that, I don't know the neuroscience well enough to know exactly where it's up to, but even if that's true, that by itself still doesn't get you free will. Because if you remember a video I've made, which will be in the link of this one, where Sam Harris argues, it makes the argument that you don't need causation to not have free will. If everything's caused, I don't have free will. But if there's random processes, I also don't have free will. So, right? Because it's not my free will. The fact that if there's inputs coming to the brain, there's not a clear, it's random whether you decide to do something or not to do something, and then you go and do it. So you can't predict now what you're going to eat in a week's time, even if you had the best supercomputer in the world with all the information. But that's not free will. For free will, what we need to add is one extra component. And that is that the mind picking up all these inputs kind of trace thoughts into the mind, and then they reach the point where they're not determined, and the mind would then be the piece that would say, okay, I'm going to determine over there what you do, and boom, and then comes the output. So this model of the brain would give space for free will, but it wouldn't by itself get you free will. Okay, so we've looked at a few different parts of the great free will debate on the Big Think video. We've looked at some arguments last time, which I felt were incomplete in trying to say, well, if you believe in a mind or soul, you must be believing in some wispy extra substance entering, and I explain why I don't think that's correct. Today, we looked at an argument, yes, you do have free will because there's indeterminacy in quantum physics, and I don't think that's quite correct either. Although both those arguments do help us point in a better direction. If we can accept on the one hand that even the mind and brain just having extra properties can allow for complete belief in mind, soul, or anything, and a physicalist brain. And if we can accept the possibility that a brain itself does allow a space for mind decisions, those two could combine to form an interesting model of free will. However, I actually have a slightly different understanding of what I think is the most promising avenue of the location of consciousness and free will. All of these are areas that science is exploring and discovering. But what we're trying to do here is show arguments on both sides that are inadequate, try to tighten them up and see if we can come up with models that are really helpful. In the next episode, I'm going to do one more video, I think. Maybe I'll end up doing more, but at least one more on this great free will debate in Big Think. And there we're going to look at a psychologist called Michael, I hope I pronounced it right, Michael Gazzaniga, I think is his name, in California. And he has a fascinating view, which I also want to tweak a little bit and help bring into this debate. So, as usual, I hope this has been fascinating, thought-provoking for you, and enjoyable as it has been for me. Feel free to comment, to argue, to disagree, to like, please do like and subscribe and share and do all sorts of other wonderful things. But also, please keep recommending. I'm loving the recommendations I'm getting, loving the comments we're getting, direct or in the messages, and we'll hopefully see you next video. Hi, everyone. Thanks so much for watching. If you enjoyed what you saw, please click on the like and subscribe and hit the notification button below. Thanks so much.